firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
Do you struggle with your inadequacies? Most people do, even those who seem confident on the outside. The problem is where they're putting their attention when it comes to their inadequacies. And we'll learn more about that on this midweek edition of Through the Bible Radio as we come to Dr. J. Vernon McGee's study in the Song of Solomon at chapter 4. Now, as you find your place in the Scriptures, let me share this wonderful letter that our ministry partner, Transworld Radio, received from a listener of our Kabyle program, which is a language of the Berber people in North Africa. He writes, "Hello, my dear friends. I know that you don't ignore that there are about 30 churches in our country. The other day we counted even 32 Christian communities. I do not speak about the house groups which pray and study the Word of Jesus. The house groups, nobody knows the number. They are numerous. The other day I talked with the imam of our mosque of our village about the topic of Christianity, which they claim has invaded our country, in particular Kabylia. I saw he was worried, so I asked him, what is the reason for his concern? He answered that it is the decline of Islam in our country which is the reason of his sadness. Transworld Radio declared war, according to what he noticed, and they have won the victory over us, he said. I answered, no, TWR or anyone else doesn't have anything to do with your defeat. The soldiers obey only the orders of their general in the army corps. The victory belongs to him. Jesus himself is the general of the army corps who has won the victory, not over the Muslim, as you believe, but over Satan, the enemy of humanity. Jesus, on the contrary, is not against the Muslims, but he fights to save them." The imam was touched by these words. He listened attentively. I offered him a Bible and the frequency of your transmissions. He accepted it with a smile. He said to me, "I want to listen to and read the words of Jesus, the Lord, with joy." He greeted me, then he left. We encourage you to continue to send us the words of Jesus. Even imams come to Jesus to be saved. I don't have time to even mention others. Pray for these multitudes of new converts. They have been converted because they have heard the words of Jesus in your broadcasts. Thank you very much. We are four brothers and sisters in Christ who greet you. Well, God is certainly doing an amazing work among the Berber people as they hear the word of God and then respond to the truth that Jesus is more than a prophet, but is the incarnate God who gave his life that they might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to bless the Berbers with an understanding of your word, that many more will be saved by the work of your Spirit through your grace and mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, as we come to chapter 4 here of the Song of Solomon, he says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love." Now, this entire chapter is the song of the bridegroom. And this was Solomon's love for this girl that he'd met up in the hill country. Brought her to town, as it were. I guess she had shoes on for the first time. And now wearing lovely dresses, sitting at the table of Solomon. What a privilege she had, and she's rejoicing in it. Now, we today, as believers, as we read this, we see in it that what the Spirit of God was doing was trying to show to us Christ's love for us. And we see in that a very wonderful and personal relationship. Now, I think that you find in this chapter the love of Christ actually for his church today and his love for the individual believers. This is the love song of the bridegroom, or the love song of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that is quite obvious that that is the thing that he has in mind here, for the very simple reason that if you look, for instance, at verse 7, he's speaking now to the bride, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Well, is this Christ speaking of the church and of each believer? Speaking to you and to me, yes. Well, that means then we're going to have to get perfect, does it not? Oh, no. Let's turn over to Ephesians, that familiar passage. I've already quoted it several times, but he says here, "As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Now, he's already cleansed us by the blood And through his sacrifice, we have the forgiveness of sins so that there's no charge brought against us. But he's going to sanctify us too and cleanse us. How? Well, with the Word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Why? Because he will be the one that will make the church without spot or wrinkle. We'll be seen in Christ or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It shall be holy and without blemish. And now he can look at the church and say, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Why? Because he removed the spot as far as the church is concerned and as far as the believer is concerned. Now, let me just lift out several things in this chapter, because from now on I'm having to move a little faster. I gained a little momentum last time, and we'll pick up a little again today. And I trust that you will go through the rest of this marvelous book. Spend time with verses like this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to your heart, and ask the Spirit of God to make it real to you. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now you will find here a very minute description of this girl. I mean, it describes the parts of her body, if you please. And after all, in marriage, there are two extreme viewpoints, I think, today. One is that the emphasis is put upon sex, and the other emphasis is that there's no emphasis put on sex, that it's a high holy state, that sex doesn't become involved, and then the others are treated like they're animals, that we're to live like animals. Well, between those two extreme viewpoints is marriage, and it's when the bridegroom holds the bride in his arms, that's when the love, the physical love, is consummated. Now, here you have that description, and again, it's a minute description. Every young fella has looked into the eyes of some girl and told her what beautiful eyes that she has. I'm sure that we never speak of other members of the body quite like that. I told my wife when I met her, she was a young school teacher, and she had black hair, black as a raven's wing, and dark brown eyes. Now, today, there's some gray in that hair, but back yonder, oh, I want to tell you, I thought it was beautiful, you see. Now, I told her, well, what beautiful hair you have and eyes. I never told her what beautiful big toes that she's got, because I really don't think she's got beautiful big toes. But nevertheless, here is a minute description, and it reveals the fact that today the Lord Jesus Christ not only, my friend, loves you, but the Lord Jesus knows you. Why don't you quit kidding yourself? You're not kidding him at all. And that means you can just go to him and tell him everything that's in your heart. No use trying to cover up. No use trying to use subterfuge. No use trying to beat around the bush. You can tell him everything that's on your heart. Tell him all about your weakness. Tell him about that sin. Tell him about the things that are in your heart and life. And that's the way to deal with these things. I noticed today there's a lot of this gimmickry, and my, how popular it is. People pay money to try to get answers to questions. How do I get rid of an inferiority complex? I have news for you. You don't get rid of it. The Lord Jesus, 1,900 years ago, is the only one that has an answer to that. And as a psychologist told me, a wonderful Christian man, out at USC here in Southern California years ago, he said to me, you can't get rid of that inferiority complex, as we psychologists can shift it from one place to another. But the only place you get rid of it is at the cross of Christ. And I'm not sure that a lot of people ought to get rid of the inferiority complex. I think you ought to have it there until you come to Christ. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless till we come to Him. And then there are these questions that you hear today. How can I get rid of an inferiority complex? Well, my friend, I have an answer for you. You don't get rid of that inferiority complex. It's a good thing to have. I'm tired of meeting arrogant, proud Christians today. I wish some of them had a feeling of inferiority. I'd do them good. May I say to you, you don't get rid of it. You rejoice in Christ. I can do all things in Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, friends, none of this gimmickry today, none of these little rules that are being given, that's not the solution. Oh, I know. It'll give you temporary relief. Well, why don't you take an aspirin tablet? And they cost less than some of these things are costing today. And then someone says, how can I get rid of a bad habit? And I just go and confess, and then I'm back doing it again. Well, let me say to you, He's rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. I'm confident that for years I went to Him 100, I must have gone 200 or 300 times to tell Him about something. And you know, He was rich in mercy. And that means He's got a whole lot of it. And it was wonderful to go to Him, and yet failure after failure. And you know what? When the time came, He gave the victory in His way. And not by some little gimmickry today that men have worked out, because our Lord moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. And He doesn't always follow your little rule or man's little rule. And you have this wonderful thing. And I come to it here, verse 6, until the day break and the shadows flee away, I'll get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Now, that's the place we need to go for the solution to our problems. The mountain of myrrh is the cross of Christ. Myrrh speaks of His death. And may I say to you, that's where you're going to find comfort today and salvation and help and hope. And to the hill of frankincense. Now, that's His life. Not just His earthly life, because we know Him no longer after the flesh, Paul says, but we know Him now as the glorified Christ and the frankincense. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful, glorious picture that we have here of Him. And this is the solution to your problems. That, my friend, is the reason that I keep saying, the answer's in the Word of God. It's ignorance of the Word of God that a great many folk are trading on and taking advantage of. And because they know so little, they come up with all kinds of solutions today and not have a broad knowledge of the Word of God. And if you just get into the Word of God and get acquainted with Jesus Christ and sit down at this big round table that we've seen in the Song of Solomon, and feast with Him, and find satisfaction and joy in Him. Now, you don't realize, and I don't either for that matter, really how much He loves us today. Will you listen to this? Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart, and one of thine eyes with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse, how much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Now that's verses 9 and 10. And here he is speaking of the bride. He's speaking of believers. He's speaking of His own. This is how much He loves you today. Oh, it would break your heart and my heart if we knew how much He loved us. And only the Spirit of God, friends, can make this love real to us. We just can't write out a little motto and stick it on our bumper and drive around and say, Jesus loves you. How do you know He loves you? Have you experienced it yourself? Are you conscious of His love right now? Oh, my friend, He loves you. Fall in love with Him And now, will you listen? The bride speaks now and answers. Verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south wind. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. You remember they were there in the upper room? And the Lord Jesus was giving them that wonderful discourse. Began in John 13 and goes on actually through 17. But in John 14, he's interrupted again and again and again by one apostle and then another one. And finally, Judas interrupts him. And have you ever noticed what he said? Judas saith unto him, now this is not Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? Judas says, this is wonderful to be here. And you're revealing these wonderful truths concerning yourself. But what about the world outside? And now the bride here, she's getting the message. She says, oh, north wind. That north wind's cold, and it may cause the bride to get very cold and maybe freeze. But, oh, awake, O north wind. Why? That this spice, this wonderful fragrance, might be blown out to others, and they might enjoy it. Let my beloved come into his garden, eat his pleasant fruits, but let the fragrance of this spread out to the world. And he was gathered yonder in the upper room, eating the Last Supper and the Lord's Supper the first time. And he said, this is to go out. He hadn't forgotten the world. The fragrance is to go out today. And friends, the message should go out. Now we come here to chapter 5, and the bridegroom replies to this. And he says, I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. There seems to be a certain amount of conflict in the mind of the bride about whether they should spend time in fellowship and communion or time in going out yonder and discharging their responsibilities. And both are essential. I think we need to sit at Jesus' feet and then follow those feet as they go out yonder on the hillside looking for the lost sheep and out yonder into the field, which is the world, to sow the seed of the Word of God today. And friends, I hope you get the message. That's what we're trying to do. Let's get the word out. We're seeing it do a job today. It's getting a message through. There is a success story because he's blessing his word, and that's the only thing he promised to bless. And we need to get it out. Now, listen to him. I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. In other words, let's have fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open the door, come in, I'll sup with you. And that is the fellowship we need. And John says, in connection with that fellowship, he said, these things we've written unto you that your joy might be full. Not only have fellowship, but that your joy might be full. He wants you to have a good time. And are you having a good time as a Christian? Well, some of us are not. And we ought to be having a good time today. I have some wonderful letters from people that are in hospitals and rest homes, and they're not very restful. That is, many of them are not. And these people are telling about their suffering, the disease they have, and all that sort of thing. And then they're telling about how wonderful it is to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. One dear lady, and the tears came to my eyes, she says, at night when the nurse tucks me in at, I think she said 11 o'clock, for about an hour or 2 hours till she goes to sleep, she says, I pray for you. Isn't that wonderful? And then she says, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I pray for you again. And then she says, how wonderful it is to have fellowship with him. Oh, how beautiful it is. Now we come to a very unusual thing, and it was a custom of that day. And it's the bride now speaking. And this brings us to the fourth canticle. This is the fourth song, a little folk song. I didn't bring my guitar today, so I can't sing it for you. But listen to it. Verse 2, chapter 5, Song of Solomon. I sleep, but my heart waketh. That's marvelous, isn't it? My heart is awake. I'm on the alert. I'm watching. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. He's been out in the night. He's been busy. Bride crawled up in bed. Oh, the church today needs to hear this message. All of us believers need to hear it today. And let's get out of bed and get busy. If the Lord gives us health, let's start moving for Him. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I wash my feet. How shall I defile them? And she rationalizes. Now, she said, I'm already in bed. Now, remember that day, even in a palace, the bedroom floor was dirt generally. And here, it's a dirt floor. And she says, I'm in bed. I've washed my feet, and I got in bed. I don't want to get out and get my feet dirty again. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, that is my emotion, they were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Now, the custom of that day, and it was a lovely custom, was this, that when a man was in love with a girl, and he really wanted to express that love, that she was the only one, he'd go to her home, and they had always a hole in the door where you could reach a hand through to get the handle on the inside. They were very uncivilized in that day. They didn't lock the doors. They didn't have people breaking in like they do today. We're civilized, and they were uncivilized. But anyway, why, the lover would come, he would reach inside, not open the door, but he would put myrrh and frankincense on the handle of the door. And when she would come to open the door, why, this wonderful fragrance would get on her. Now you have that picture here. She heard his voice, and she knew he was somewhere around. And she got up and went to the door. And when she took hold of the handle, well, there was myrrh and frankincense and the sweetness of it, the sweetness of his presence, you see. He'd been there. And I think if we get a move on today, a great many of us, start doing something for God, we'd find sometime the sweetness of his presence on the handle of the door, on our own bedchamber. We'd feel like that we have had real personal fellowship with him. What a beautiful picture this is, and frankly, what a glorious picture this is. Now, this brings us, actually, to the end of this song. Wasn't this a little gem, by the way? It's the briefest of the songs, but it's a beautiful thing. And now we come to the fifth song, and next time we're going to see her description of him. He's given his description of her, and now she will tell what she thinks of him. I wonder if we think that way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'll wait till next time, and we'll see that. And friends, I hope that we're going to finish this little book of the Song of Solomon right away, because I'm the bus driver, and I see my schedule, and I'm due down on the next corner. And here I am talking about the Song of Solomon. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, the schedule calls for us to conclude these Song of Solomon studies on Friday, and then next week we'll move forward into the New Testament and Paul's epistle to the Colossians. In the meantime, the Bible Bus will be back here at your corner at the same time tomorrow and Friday, so I hope that you'll plan to be with us. And if you didn't catch all of these messages on the Song of Solomon, you can hear them on the internet when you go to our website, ttb.org. Now, don't forget that the book of edited messages on Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon is still available at a special low price. You can use the order form in our February newsletter, shop online at ttb.org, or call us Monday through Thursday at 1-800-65-BIBLE from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-652-4253. Do you remember the elderly lady that Dr. McGee told us about who prayed for him each morning and evening? Well, her prayers and the prayers of thousands more over the intervening years have been a crucial factor in the success of this ministry. We hope that you believe that. Tonight, or maybe whenever the thought comes to your mind, would you pray for those who are getting out the word in over 100 languages and dialects? And if you don't have an international prayer guide to help you in knowing our specific prayer needs, then ask for it when you write or call us. Our mailing address is Through the Bible Radio, in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Have you told your family and friends about Through the Bible? If not, just remember that there's probably someone in your life who would be eternally grateful if you did.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Through the Bible Radio Network.